the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
So, Mike Vrabel was in Florham Park yesterday, and he left the building. And that may be the last time he revisits the New York Jets as a potential suitor for a head coaching job, because let's be honest here, there is nothing good coming from one Jets drive. There is nothing good. There's no good situation right now with the New York Jets. I'm dying right now as a Jet fan because you have a quarterback that is 40 years old who doesn't know if the team wants him to come back. I don't know if I want him to come back. I don't know what type of quarterback we're going to get for next year. I would like to have someone actually teach a young rookie for a change, which is why I think I want Aaron Rodgers back. But there's so much confusion. They're interviewing coaches, haven't even picked a GM yet. Like, this makes no sense, and that is the problem. The Jets continue to jet. They are an awful franchise, and Mike Vrabel would make the worst decision in the world if he chose to be the head coach of the New York Jets. If you just watched this entire season play out, the entire past 2 years play out, the last thing you want to do is say, hey, you know what? I think I want to coach the New York Jets. What is promising about this franchise? Answer that. What is promising about the New York Jets? Again, just said, they have no clue what's going on at quarterback. No clue. It's either a 40-year-old who hasn't won a playoff game in a few years, hasn't made the playoffs in a few years, or a young rookie that we've seen how the Jets have just destroyed rookie quarterbacks. Last two, Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson. And amazingly enough, Sam Darnold, who we ran out of town, is going for, not going to be an MVP, but looking to get the number one seed with the Minnesota Vikings. And it's just, again, every step this organization makes, whether it's a head coach, whether it's a GM, whether it's making trades, everything is, they're so overrated year in and year out. And you feel like you're being just completely battered and bruised at the end of the season. You feel like you've just gone through a buzzsaw if you're a fan of the New York Jets. It's gross. And I don't understand how anybody competent would want to take this job. You could sit there and say, but there's so much talent there. Really? Garrett Wilson is talented, and they're trying to run him out the building. He is the top wide receiver on the team, but they make a trade for Davante Adams, and all of a sudden it's like, well, let's cater to the old Davante Adams, and let's find a way to get Garrett Wilson out here. Maybe he's not a right fit. We could build around Davante Adams. Like, what are we doing? What are the Jets doing? And that is the biggest gripe I have, and why I don't see Mike Vrabel choosing the New York Jets. I don't see John Gruden choosing the New York Jets. The Jets were lucky to get a phone call from Bill Belichick before he went to North Carolina, and they destroyed that. They completely killed the one opportunity they had at actually potentially bringing in somebody who may fix the problem of the New York Jets. I keep on hearing this quote from BT, who, I love BT, and he will live and die with the Jets. God bless him. Things don't change till they change. The Jets have not changed. Nothing has changed about the New York Jets. They are a complete and utter disgrace of a franchise. And Mike Vrabel, yeah, he's a great coach. I would love to have him. I also wanted Robert Saleh. I didn't want Robert Saleh to leave the building. I didn't want Mike Vrabel to leave the building. But you know what? I have a soft spot now. Don't come to the Jets. Don't do that to yourself. Yes, it would be. Imagine the moment that the Jets are actually good, get back to the playoffs, whoever the head coach is, whoever the GM is, whoever the quarterback is, it's going to be an amazing day in Jets history. We could pop some champagne. We can go crazy. But that is so far away. They are not a head coach away from fixing this franchise. I'm sorry. The defense completely regressed. The offense regressed. Breece Hall regressed. I know Garrett Wilson got his touches and caught his balls and put up some good yardage and had a good season. But even he, the expectation of Garrett Wilson with Aaron Rodgers was supposed to be epic. Was supposed to be record-setting. And not even close. It's a disappointment. It is a disappointment. 888-808-1019. And that's why, like, if you're Mike Vrabel, who, yeah, it was awesome to see him come through. You know that he could be gritty. You know that if he has some talented players, that he can get the best out of a guy. Like, his quarterback was Ryan freaking Tannehill. He made Ryan Tannehill work in Tennessee. So, hey, maybe he could find somebody that if Aaron Rodgers ends up leaving, if they go for a stopgap, maybe Tyrod Taylor, if they have to go for a rookie, maybe Mike Vrabel can figure out a way to get the best out of whatever quarterback's there. Or maybe it just goes back to hell. Maybe if the franchise continues to bury themselves because they do things ass backwards. You're not even going to get a GM before you get a head coach. I mean, they've interviewed more head coaches over the past week than GMs. And to me, you can't do that. You can't go, unless this head coach is going to be the GM of the team, you can't hire a head coach before you pick a GM. Like, I'm confused at what the heck they're doing over there at Florham Park. It is as head-scratching as I've ever seen this franchise. And it's been a long time. It's been a long time. And no, I don't think they're as good as people think they could be next year. I don't think they're a quarterback away. I don't think they're a head coach away. I don't think they're a general manager away. I think there are a lot of pieces away. I think that they've been overrated the past few years. The quick fix of Aaron Rodgers coming to the New York Jets backfired so bad and has set this franchise back even more. I wouldn't want to touch him. There's no interest for me if I'm a head coach right now. If I'm a vet who wants to get back into business, who's desperate for a job, maybe. But then why would the Jets want that? Like, think about this. There's a ton of options. But think about the historically what the Jets have done. They've brought in rookie coaches who have completely failed. Whether it's Todd Bowles, whether it's Robert Saleh. So you're gonna try to get Ben Johnson? I could write that script out tomorrow. He's gonna fail again. the great head coaches, the guys that are been around a little bit, have had a taste of winning, not a lot, but are really, you know, in the range of, you know, top tier head coaches, but not too far out, not too old, not too veteran, like the Pete Carrolls of the world. Pete Carroll's great, but is he going to win with the Jets? When is the last time someone of that age took over a team and won as a head coach? Now, if you want to tell me, maybe you bring Pete Carroll in as a GM, I'd be more willing to do that. Again, you're talking about a good football mind, but they've got to be leaders of men. That's why Vrabel does fit the part, but that's why he shouldn't want to do it here. We've seen the Jets basically give up. We've seen the Jets basically, I wouldn't say quit on coaches, but not care. I would say more not care than quit. Because when you have the disrespect that they've had the past couple seasons, whether it's Zach Wilson being a quarterback, whether it's Mike White, whether it's Joe Flacco, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's, you know, Tim Boyle, and players play for certain quarterbacks. And that's just kind of like a reflection on how the team plays for their coaches. No? You should go out there and play hard no matter who's the quarterback. But doesn't seem like it's been happening. And it doesn't make a difference if it's Robert Saleh. It doesn't make a difference if it's Albright. It doesn't make a difference who the hell it is that's in control of this team. And I am just, as a Jet fan, I've heard it before. Oh, you know what? No one's ever going to give up. No one's going to actually quit the team. You know what? I'm quitting. I'm quitting the New York Jets. I'm actually over being a fan of the New York Jets. I am tired of being a fan of a team that completely punches me in the stomach every time I'm turning on the TV, every time I'm watching a football game, every time I hear breaking news, the Jets did something else stupid. I'm tired of it. So I'm over the New York Jets. You want to tell me that, oh, you'll be back? No, I won't. Because they're not going to give you a reason to come back. Because the New York Jets franchise is the worst run franchise in all sports. That's why. They haven't won a Super Bowl since 1969. They haven't been back to a Super Bowl since 1969. And there is no light at the end of this tunnel that says they're going to get back there anytime soon. The past 2 years, they're supposed to be Super Bowl contender. They didn't even make the playoffs. They didn't even make the playoffs. They might not even have 5 wins this year. And you can't complain about Aaron Rodgers because he's back. He's here. It's not that he's hurt. He's here. And they still suck. It is the worst franchise in the history of sports. And it only finds a way to get worse and worse and worse. And I quit. I quit them. I'm over them. Obviously, for a job, I'll have to watch. But I have no rooting interest in them. I will find another team. I will, not sure when I'm going to decide that because I have a whole year now. I have a whole offseason to pick. It's like I'm in free agency now. I could do what I want. I'm going to wait around and decide my team come maybe like April, May, June. I got time.
You can pick and choose. You can go back to highlights, go back to the season.
I'll watch some tape. I'll do what I want.
Oh, yeah.
But I am done. I am not re-signing with the Jets.
next year. I'm just not doing it. And it, honestly, if you want to make a difference, I feel like this is almost the same thing. It's like, hey, maybe it's time to give up on the Jets. Maybe it is time to give up on them. Because they can't get it right. They haven't got it right. And they will not get it right. And I'm telling you right now, Mike Vrabel comes in. Everyone's going to be ecstatic because guess what? He's a great coach. If he does, for some reason, if he's stupid enough to take this job with the Jets, he'll be gone and it'll be another awful run team for another 4 years, 5 years. We'll have to go through the cycle again. Which quarterback are we going to try to draft? Which, you know, which lottery pick we getting? It's the New York Jets. I'm over them. You're done. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Craig. Again, Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan till 5 a.m. when Richard Neer takes over. Again, you can always hit me up at HoffWFAN. Don't forget, download the Odyssey app. If you miss anything at all, you can just hit the rewind function and go back and check it out. Let's go to Craig in Mattawan. What's up, Craig? Welcome to the Fan.
Hey, Hoff, love the show. Love listening to you. Listen, I'm a Giant fan. I don't have no dog in the race. But the Jets need, like, a franchise quarterback, like I was telling the gentleman. They haven't had one in, like, four. I don't even think they've ever had one. I mean, it's like quarterbacks go there to die. It's an island of misfit quarterbacks over the last 20 years, 20-plus. Who is the last decent quarterback? Forget about decent. Quarterback they've had for, like, 8 or 9 years. I can't name one.
They don't have one. I mean, Chad Pennington's the last one that they had for a decent amount of time. I mean, Mark Sanchez had the best 2 years in a row, and then that went all downhill because GM and company screwed up and they basically took away all his weapons. They're just a poorly run team.
Yeah, but Hoff, just one thing. The only person to have success with them back to back, and I'm sorry, and I'm a Giant fan, was Rex Ryan. Like, I don't see how, I don't see how that's a bad, like, he's the only person to have success
with Rex Ryan. Craig, but here's the thing, though, when it comes down to these old coaches. And Rex hasn't gotten a job in how long? After Buffalo, when did he get his last job?
He hasn't. Also, right. You are 100%.
Right. So, and he's been out of the league. He talks a big game. It's great. But what is he going to do? He's going to come in and magically make this team, put some fire under him? No offense, and I love Buck Showalter, but it's very reminiscent of Buck Showalter. Maybe he gets a one good year out of him, and then that's it. You know, you need something that's sustainable. And I got to be honest with you, I don't see it with any option. There was one option I thought would have been good, Bill Belichick, because I think that you could have convinced him to run the team, be the head coach for a year or two, and then hand it off to your predecessors. You know what I mean? Hand it off to the next guy. Hand it off to somebody else you've been looking to, you know, mold. Listen, you can tell, like, was it Josh McDaniels? Is it Josh? Who's the guy that was Denver Broncos coach for a bit? Terrible coach.
Josh McDaniels. Yeah.
Josh McDaniels was a terrible coach in Denver, terrible coach in Oakland. But here's the thing is, I'd almost prefer him be under Bill's wing. So if you tell Bill Belichick to be the GM and head coach or whatever it is, you know, have that guy run your freaking team. If you think
there's not many people this is not a job that's glorified. It's not a job that stands out. You're not going to get the Mike Vrabels of the world. Even Pete Carroll, who served as coach in 94, got fired after 1 year. He ain't going to. I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. The only coach they're going to get is somebody being a guinea pig. You're going to test and see if they can be a good coach, a Todd Bowles or a first-time head coach.
When you had, and Craig, great job. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. When you had the best coach in history, Bill Belichick, call you up and say, I'm interested in coaching your team, and you deny him, that just shows that you have no idea what you're doing. That you can't swallow your pride and you can't realize that there's somebody that actually can fix your team who ran the Patriots for how many, for a decade plus. How many Super Bowls did they go to? How many Super Bowls did they win? I mean, Bill Belichick is up there. Now, yes, he had Tom Brady, but Bill Belichick is up there, and he is a great football mind. And that was a huge mistake, the fact that they did not bring him in. That's and Buck stops there. There's really nothing the Jets can do to make me believe that they're serious about winning. Yeah, Mike Vrabel. Why? Because everyone else wants Mike Vrabel because he's the hot girl on the block right now. Is that what it is? I mean, come on. Come on. 888-808-1019. We'll get back into the Jets. We'll also hit the Knicks a little bit later on as they lost a tough game. Played really well, though, the first three quarters. I got to be honest, man. Very entertaining game. Tough game. But the Knicks did come up short. I heard the Pete Alonso conversation, so we'll probably get into that as well. But right now, your Jets phone calls about just, I'm quitting the team. I'm done. I where people say, oh, you can't quit the team. I can, and I'm doing it, and it's over. And I'm a free agent, and I'm going to find another team. You should jump ship too, and let's pick a team together. 888-808-1019. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Pete Hoff with you on the Fan for another 4.5 hours till 5 when Richard Deere takes over. You can always hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. And if you miss anything at all, the Odyssey app is always awesome. Just download it and hit that rewind button and go back and check it out, whatever you missed. We started out with the New York Jets as I'm done. Like, I actually quit. I just quit the New York Jets. You might have missed it, so maybe you want to go rewind and hear how I did it. But I'm, you know, paying attention to Mike Vrabel. Go to Jets Land, go to One Jets Drive, the Florham Park, and go check out, you know, the scene and the facility and the players. And I got to be honest with you, I don't want Mike Vrabel to do that to himself. Like, it's frustrating to see people fail year after year after year, and there's no hope in sight. And I don't know why it continues to happen. I can take a couple guesses, but it starts at the top. It starts with, you know, ownership and just trickles down from there. And I got to be honest, there's nothing that's ever going to change unless you bring in a GM who has full control of the team, that has full control of every decision. That when it comes down to fire the head coach, it's the GM who's making that call. Not the owner, the GM. That when you make a decision on flying out to California to bring in a quarterback as old as Aaron Rodgers, that you're not pressuring your GM to make that move. And I got to be honest with you. I think that though Joe Douglas eventually made the trade happen, it's Woody Johnson all day. And when you have a GM that can't tell your owner, no, that's not going to work. It's not beneficial. That's a Hail Mary, and my job is on the line now. We're not gonna do that. That's costly. It's going to cost money. Like, the moment Aaron Rodgers was even talked about as coming to the Jets, behind the scenes I told everyone Robert Saleh is gonna lose his job. Like, how soon is he gonna lose his job? I thought he was going to lose his job 5 games into last year. Unfortunately for everyone, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. So we got an additional year of Robert Saleh. And then the GM was next. Joe Douglas was next. And it's all because the top of the food chain with the Jets has no clue how to run a franchise, has no clue how to bring in good football minds and let them handle the football situations. If Joe Douglas was the reason why Zach Wilson was the quarterback, the starting quarterback this whole entire time for all those years, yeah, that's fireable. But I just don't think that's the case anymore. It just smells like everything is coming from all the way up top. And no one is going to fix it. No one can because other people get in the way. It reminds me of the Wilpons, where they just get in the way with the Mets for all those years. It's. I feel bad for the Jets fans. And here's the thing is, I'm not one anymore, so I feel bad for you. I don't feel bad for myself anymore. I'm over it. I feel bad for you. I feel bad that you have to sit there and hope you bring a Mike Vrabel and hope that they make the right decision at quarterback and hope they bring in a good defensive coordinator and a good offensive coordinator and also bring in a good GM, by the way, so that they could continue to draft semi-well. You know, that's the other thing, too. Like, Joe Douglas, we sit there and talk about Joe Douglas. He was decent with finding talent. He didn't get hits everywhere. He did find some good gems, but he started to fall apart, too. He wasn't getting hit. He wasn't hitting right. I mean, besides Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, Ahmed Gardner is not who we thought he was. He's taking a step back. And I feel like the whole team is taking a step back defensively. And again, that is the vibe from the team. And I'll just tell you this much. You know, and I hate to do the comparison, but I was in the Giants locker room after they won their third game of the season last week. And the vibe of that team was that of a team that was going to the playoffs. That was, you know, had a great season and let's keep on building on this. And it was amazing. Got the monkey off our back. Played a great game. You know, the fact that they put up 45 points was... for the Giants, it was amazing. And the feel, the energy that was in that locker room, to me, was incredible. And I look at them, I say, I see it. I don't know why I see it, because when you lose 10 straight, you really shouldn't see it. But there's something there that gives me a little faith that the Giants will actually find a way to build off of this. The Jets, I legitimately don't see it. I don't get the same energy. You know, when you have a quarterback who's out there and talks constantly to the media, well, constantly to Pat McAfee, and then says that you know there's just too many leaks in the building. Guy is on TV once a week. Talking about the team, talking about distractions, talking about all nonsense. Does a documentary, which, by the way, I have no interest in watching that documentary. I heard unbelievable things about it. Oh, it changes your mind on Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to change my mind on Aaron Rodgers. I like the fact that I think that he's not a great leader. That he is toxic. Because guess what? He came to the Jets. Maybe they were toxic already in general, but it felt like they were a team that was on the road to go somewhere. And in 2 years, that all got blown up. And I don't see the positivity with the Jets. I really don't. 888-808-1019. It's the number to call. So, yeah, I feel bad for the Jets fan. There's one more game left. We're here the final weekend. Jets-Dolphins. Can't wait for that one. You know, we joked about, all the time about Tua. And I felt, bad for the Dolphins fans because I felt like he was a fragile quarterback and they made a mistake there too. They're going through, this is a very similar thing that goes through football. You think about it. There's some really good teams in football. And then there's some really awful franchises. And you go through little moments here and there where you occasionally have a good season here or there. Maybe you make the playoffs for a year, or like the Jets, you don't make for 14 years. But the Dolphins are in a similar situation too. And it goes in circles. And I'm tired of seeing it because I've seen it my whole entire life. I'm looking for, and I remember the days when the Patriots were bad, and then all of a sudden something clicked. Yes, they got a quarterback, but they also got a really good coach, and they were able to create a dynasty. And not saying that I'm looking to create a dynasty with the Jets. I'm just looking for some level of success. Be 500. Be over 500. Try to make a playoffs. Get to the first round. That would be nice. That would be a good start. 888-808-1019. We'll get back to your phone calls. We'll get into a little bit of the Knicks coming up as a rough game, a good game in OKC, but it turned out to be a bad ending. But we did see a familiar face that we haven't seen in a little bit. As the Knicks took on the Thunder, saw Hartenstein, and good game up until the fourth quarter. 888-808-1019. We'll get into that more. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on The Fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. With you on The Fan till 5 a.m. when Richard Neer takes over. As always, you can hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. If you want to hit me up on social media or if you miss anything at all, Odyssey app, download that bad boy and hit the rewind function. And if you missed anything at all from today, yesterday maybe, whatever you want, go check it out. And it's there. There, all the good stuff, BT and Sal, Boomer and Geo, Evan and Tiki, Keith McPherson, myself, all the good stuff. Just go check it out if you missed anything at all from yesterday, today. It's at the Odyssey app. Now, we're talking about the Jets mostly to start the show, but I did want to talk about the Knicks a little bit because good game between the Knicks and the Thunder. Now, let's be serious here. Like, that game was exciting. There was a playoff feel to it. There was a lot of great offensive play. And it wasn't just like, the typical shoot from three. It was a lot of driving, a lot of passing. I mean, SGA was on Thunder. They were calling him like a snake. They were like, he just kind of weaves his way and just finds his way and slithers his way. And that's exactly what he does. He's just a finesse player. It's beautiful to watch him on the court. It's crazy. But it was an exciting game. And it was back and forth. It was real close to start. Then the Knicks kind of pulled ahead. And then the Thunder in the fourth quarter just took over. And now part of that is because you know, I think just too many minutes from the main guys. All the main starters had over 40 minutes, logged 40 minutes yesterday. So that was the first problem. You know, OKC's, you know, got a little more youth. They're using more of their bench. And I think that definitely is more efficient when you have a game that's that high-paced. When it's that high-level game, to use a bench, to give your guys, allow yourself to give your players, your main players, a break, I think it's huge. But again, like Bridges, 40 minutes. Brunson, 40 minutes. Anunoby, 42. Hart, 44. Towns, 42. The only other person that hit double digits was Shamet at 14. Achiuwa and Payne at 7. I mean, and that's it. The U-State guys, and I understand that is the Tibbs way, but in that sort of game, it's more important, I think, to get some rest for some of these guys to be able to extend your roster a little bit. And the one person that I think the Knicks really are going to miss throughout this entire season, and, you know, Julius Randle, DiVincenzo, yes, okay. Everyone was upset that DiVincenzo got traded away and that kind of stunk. But I don't think he was the big factor. I think it's the fact that the Knicks chose to keep Mitchell Robinson, stick with Mitchell Robinson, and that Isaiah Hartenstein is gone from his team. Now, listen, he didn't put up a lot of points. He put up 4 points. Had 4 shots, 2 for 4 from the field. He was 0 for 2 from the free throws. 14 rebounds, 11 plus 11 plus minus when he was on the court, 7 assists. He was very much involved in this game, even though he didn't put up points. And for a guy that's going to be able to get rebounds, to be able to, you know, pass the ball and just be another person, be another asset to the offense without shooting, because I mean he didn't need to. SGA, 33 points, was on fire. Wiggins, 19 points. Williams with 20. They had enough to spread the ball around. Listen, you know, there's the Knicks, they have their short roster for a reason. They have their short bench for a reason. But I just don't think in these moments, when you go to a team that's as youthful as OKC, that you're going to be able to withstand a game like that if you're not extending your bench. And Hartenstein was somebody that could be could have been an asset for the Knicks to give him that one extra piece. Knicks are waiting around for Mitchell Robinson. When's he going to come back? When's he going to play? How effective is he going to be? I mean, realistically, nobody knows. And when he comes back, how long till his next injury? He can never stay healthy. You know, this is the Julius Randle effect. That's part of the problem with Julius Randle. Past few years, he was okay in the regular season, but then when they needed him the most in the playoffs, he wasn't there. He's always hurt. It's not going to help. They need a bigger, and listen, that's always going to be something with Tom Thibodeau, is you're always going to be saying, well, he's got a short bench. You need to extend it. You need to get more, you need to have a bigger roster. You need to be able to go a little bit more deeper on the roster. But that's what Thibodeau does. But if you had an asset like a Hartenstein, he'd be probably willing to be more willing to give him more minutes. When Mitchell Robinson comes back, I'm sure he's going to log a lot more minutes than, Precious Achiuwa. Let's be serious. Achiuwa played 7 minutes. 888-808-1019. You know, it was a good game. Again, the Knicks streak ends at 9. 9 in a row. They had 9 wins in a row. It looked like they had a chance. But again, that fourth quarter, the Thunder just completely took over. And I think that's more of a case that the Thunder is just a younger team and they're able to continue that pace all game long. when the Knicks just couldn't. They tried. It was a good effort. But they're just a bit short. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Tony in Montreal. Tony, what's going on?
Pop, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Snowy in Montreal. I just was listening to all the negativity regarding the Jets, my team. And I just had a question. When's the last time we had anything similar to the New York Sack Exchange, when you had Gastineau, Klecko, Lyons, and the Soldier of Peace? When did we have anything that's similar to that and a decent quarterback? Mm. That we could say that we could torture the league? And, you know, I hear all this stuff. I listen to you and I listen to everybody on the Fan, because when I come home at night, I'm on you guys till 5 in the morning. So I'm hearing the coach is terrible. The draft is terrible. The quarter. Listen, Shadar is out there. Okay, Ward is out there, and you got an amazing player that plays both ways, never left the field. Okay, so if you can draft first, you can start and you can rebuild. But you're still not going to win unless you have the Sack Exchange or something that's similar to that fearsome four players that were torturing the league from 1981, 82, 83, 84. And, you know, if you watch the 30-on-30, that foursome, they didn't love each other. They only loved each other when they were on the field and they were torturing other people. But until such time as there is that type of player, we're not going anywhere. I'm sorry to say, Hoff, and I want to know what you think about that.
No, I don't disagree with you. That's a problem. I don't disagree with you as far as the fact that they lack... first of all, I know that you said, first of all, hey, draft 1, 2, or 3. They're not going to draft that high. They got 4 wins. You know, the likelihood of them beating Miami on Sunday, it's high because Miami's terrible. They're starting a backup quarterback. They're out of it, too. They're not interested. I mean, the Jets might just luck themselves into a win, and that's going to drop them out of a high seed for a draft pick. But even if they do lose, they're still not going to draft the first 3 or 4 or 5 even. You know, they're just in a bad spot right now.
So Hoff, what do you think of this, man? The brain trust can't look at this as a 1-year deal. The same thing in hockey. You hear Montreal crying that they're rebuilding for 33 years. You hear Chicago's rebuilding with Bedard and all these. Every league and every professional organization has the same problem. And then you hear nothing from the Boston Bruins. You hear nothing from certain teams because they're constantly retooling, refixing, and rebuilding. You never hear Buffalo talking about rebuilding. You never hear about, you know,
well, they
certain
did.
Teams like...
Oh, but Tony, they did.
They don't make a big deal of it, Hoff. Make it like, that, you know, like they don't keep talking
this
and beating each other up about it.
This offseason, they went and did a huge turnover, and a lot of people were critical. You know, Stefan Diggs they got rid of. Their whole defense is completely, you know... turned over, and they got rid of a lot of guys walk.
But Hoff, I don't want to cut you off, but what I'm talking about is a brain trust that's got a philosophy and a direction that says we're going to build another Sack Exchange. We're going to find a Gastineau. We're going to use that as a prototype. We're going to look for a Lyons. We're going to look for a Soldier of Peace. We want another Abdul. We want another Klecko. We want some crazy bunch of guys that are going to torture. And you know what? Those guys brought thousands of fans into Shea. They love to see these guys dancing on the field, you know. And then we don't have that anymore, man. We don't have that swagger, you know. Like when I kicked in to the Jets, I was a 7-year-old man, and you know why? Because they had the greatest quarterback known to humanity, as far as I was told by my dad. It was Joe Namath, and I don't care what Joe Namath did. We're going to be watching on that day. And New York is all about big time players. And until we get a big-time player, whether it's on the Jets, the Yankees, or whoever, we're not going to be there. And these other teams are beating us to the punch. They're doing better brain trust work. They're doing better drafting. And some of these teams are outbidding us because they have a lot of coin. And if you look at Philly in baseball, and you look at the Dodgers, they're doing something right that we're not doing. Okay, they're doing something with money and drafting.
It's a little different. The Dodgers are basically just buying everybody, every free agent. So I can't.
No,
really
but
put
you know,
them
but, but if they buy guys, Hoff, when they buy guys, they go after a Mookie Betts that can play defense in the field and can hit. Isn't the criticism in New York Soto couldn't play? He was a liability in the field.
Yeah, he's terrible in the right field. Well, not terrible, but he's not a gold glove. Let's put it that way.
You know, I'm a big-time New York fan. I wouldn't call for Montreal if I don't believe in the Rangers and the Jets and the Yanks, okay? And the thing is, I hear this, you know, it's like, it's almost like epidemic. It's the same problem across the league. And of the last franchise I thought that would be crying and in their soup would be the New York franchises. The most capitalized, the most valuable teams, and they're picking the wrong players, man. Like, when I watch Gastineau, okay, people hated him. But they hated him, or they loved him, but they still watched him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, and I get it. And listen, they're trying. I mean, to defend a little bit, like the Williams brothers were good for a little bit. Will McDonald, 10 sacks. I mean, that's not nothing. You know, 10 sacks on season is not nothing.
I'm not saying it isn't. Hoff, what I'm saying, okay, is, like, I'm a fan like you, right? I'm not an expert. I'm just a fan. You guys are the experts. You get to meet the players, talk to the players. You talk to coaches. You talk to managers. We're just lunch bucket guys watching from the stands. And what I'm saying is, when you want a team to turn on and to produce, you got to have that superstar, whether he's a defensive player or an offensive player. And all I'm saying is, like, that's the missing link for me. I'm not an expert. I'm just telling you from the middle of the great white north with all the snow coming down around me that, you know, like, when I'm watching the Jets, when I used to watch the Jets, it was like, I'll just draw this analogy. When I was going to a university down, you know, I would always say Sunday afternoon, I want to watch a particular team. And at the time, the team that had the swagger was Chicago with McMahon and players like that, the refrigerator. Even people didn't know football knew about this. And that's what I'm saying. When the Jets had this crazy sack exchange, I don't care. Even my grandmother knew about this. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that excitement, the excitement and the love anymore. It's all like, who do we draft? Who's better? Who can produce? That was lunch bucket, smash you in the face football. And I hope someone's listening from the Jets. I want to see smash you, drop you, like, and mock you and dance on you kind of football. And until you get back to that, you're not going to be there. Okay, that's the way I feel about it. I'm just a lunch bucket idiot. I'm no expert.
Tony, I get that. And listen, a great phone call, and I got to take a break here, but thank you so much, Tony, for the phone call, as always. Listen, we all, you know, have expectations. We'd all like to see, you know, something special on the field week in, week out. And it just they just have not been able to find it. And it's highly frustrating. And it starts from, I think, the top right now. That's what it comes down to with the Jets. 888-808-1019 coming up. I heard the conversation about Pete Alonso. I have my thoughts on Pete Alonso. And does he really want to be a New York Met? I'll have that coming up next on The Fan. 888-808-1019. You could always hit me up at HoffWFAN. You could always download the Odyssey app. But right now, let's get to an update. Marco Belletti.